Call a meeting, community development order for Monday, June 24th, 5:15. Present would be Rick Bagerly.
Vicki Davis.
Sean Meskey.
Kathy Schwantes.
Dave Ramstad.
Brian Grammets.
All right. There's no one here for public comment. Item 3, the floodplain ordinance draft.
The first agenda item is the draft floodplain ordinance. So far, it's been submitted to the current city administrator, Grammets, and for feedback, and to former city administrator Holland, city attorney Robert Scott, and all the city department head directors. I am submitting the application to this committee for informational purposes only, so that I may receive your input and feedback. You are also welcome after this meeting to follow up with any emails, with your questions or concerns or anything that you want to follow up with. Thus far, I have found the reasons for not participating in the NFIP to be for relatively insignificant or unfounded reasons. I therefore continue to be in favor of the city becoming a participating jurisdiction. With that, I open subject to any questions or discussion.
So, Brian, are you used to this? Did New Ulm belong to them?
Yes.
Okay. And it worked well there?
Yep.
How many houses were in the floodplain?
I'm going to guess on the Minnesota River side that there was probably 30, 40 homes. There had been probably more at one time, but given the recent, through the years, the floods pecked away at some of the homes and they got rid of the worst ones, you know.
Did a buyout program there?
I think it was on a case-by-case basis. You know, they got tired of going, a quarter mile with the payloader to go get the people, and, and during flood times, they said, okay, that's it. You're out of here. Obviously, they had a program and they bought them out, but yeah, New Ulm has been in the program for a long, long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Some questions from the committee? Sean?
You mentioned all the folks that you were seeking feedback. Have you gotten any feedback from any other entities on modification of the ordinance as it exists, or?
I included for your review and input the emails that I received and my responses to them. I've also had discussions with and input from the DNR. I originally thought, for instance, that there were 10 homes in the floodplain. They confirmed that there's 7. I went back and enlarged the plans. I recounted them, and in fact, it does appear to be 7. And I will echo City Administrator Grammets's comments. My former jurisdiction of Valley City, North Dakota, we did not participate in the NFIP, but did when I came on board, and 40% of that town is in the floodplain, large section of it. And it really did not add any significant efforts to the building officiating. It was just part of the plan review, and so you just required some pretty minimal, typically pretty minimal flood-proof construction, like building above the 1 foot above the BFE base flood elevation, and making sure that no mechanical systems were below the BFE, and then making sure that the clear space underneath was washout, so that when floodwaters did get in there, they could get out naturally. So.
But it's different on a river than a lake here. So.
True. The other thing that it does, though, is it helps any resident that has been experiencing flooding due to rain to get NFIP-backed flood insurance. Because all flooding insurance is conspicuously absent of regular homeowners insurance. So this would allow even just people that experience rain disasters to get flood insurance.
So they'd have to buy that directly from the government then, or local agents?
Local agents that sell NFIP-backed flood insurance, yeah.
So besides the sump pump coverage?
Right.
They could get flood insurance?
Correct. Even, if your sewer backs up, that's conspicuously absent of flood homeowners insurance. You have to buy that extra.
Was there issue with the utilities. I saw John's email.
Right.
Some cost to them.
Yeah, his concern was that we'd have, once we adopted it, that we'd have to go in and upgrade a bunch of things, and that's not the case. The ordinance is not retroactive, so when homes upgrade, they have to upgrade to meet the code. They don't have to upgrade. They don't have to lift their house up or get it out of the floodplain or anything like that. So it would just apply to new construction.
But even for their equipment, then?
Correct. Okay. Not retroactive.
Yep. So once it was time to replace some of them,
then you'd have
then
to
they would
correct
upgrade it.
That's right.
Okay.
But any of the seven homes in the flood plain, they would all have to secure flood insurance. That would be mandatory for those seven?
No, from what I could tell, and again, it would be up to the lender, but from what I can tell, about maybe half of them would probably be required to get flood insurance from their lender, by their lender. And even then, they could probably have their lots reshot, surveyed, and get a LOMA or a LOMAR, mm-hmm. a letter of map amendment or a letter
right,
of
right.
map revision.
Yeah, if you own your home, Scott.
Free and clear.
Free, you, right. You're not required by any lender. So you only if you have a mortgage. And we've had numerous situations where the property was in the floodplain, but they went and did an actual survey mm-hmm. and made a determination that it was okay to, they didn't, you know, they weren't going to be flooded out, so then.
Right, and I've done a lot, I haven't done it, but I've been party to it, a number of those where they hire the local engineer,
yeah.
they come out and shoot it, the engineer even fills out the form and sends it off to FEMA, so they really don't do anything. And it's a pretty painless process. And they don't actually modify the map. They typically do LOMAs. So you would take that and then you could register it with the county and have it part of your abstract that you're out. So.
And no major cost to the city to apply?
No.
Just the time, your
just
time?
Yes, if the city decided it wanted to shoot some survey shots to review the accuracy of the LIDAR, there'd be expense there. But otherwise, as far as my department goes, I've designated Tom, the building official, as the floodplain administrator. And seven houses, odds are he's never going to have a review, and the state reporting will pretty much just be a form and attach his existing building report. So there's really nothing.
And how about the towns or the homes in the parts of towns that flood occasionally?
Right.
Do they have to meet the guidelines then for the flood insurance?
Not if they're out of the floodplain, which they would be because
okay.
the floodplain is just around the lakes. So if you're just flooding because of water runoff or rain, then no, the lenders are not going to require them to have flood insurance.
If the street floods?
Right.
Okay.
Nope.
That homeowner though they
yes.
could get
that's
their,
the benefit of this
yeah.
they can go in and get NFIP backed
right.
flood insurance.
I assume it must be pretty close for elevation. I mean, because some of these maps, it's pretty clear because they come in the side and they just snake around, so you can see wherever the landscaping is. So I
yes.
would imagine if you're one of these seven, you're probably pretty close to where if you did any kind of landscaping pieces, you could probably get yourself out of it.
Yes. My feeling is that the builders have already been complying with the FEMA regulations.
Okay.
Because if you look at the flood map,
yeah.
the thing curves around each house.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them where it kisses, but you know, you'd really need to shoot it to know whether or not
right.
it actually kisses or if it's 6 inches off. Or
sure.
But.
So you want us to take this for information
yes.
and wait for a couple of weeks until the
yep.
next...
Provide me any comments, input, read the questions that the directors posed, my responses, anything you want. And then I'm hoping that the new city administrator will also do the same. And then I want to copy the remainder of the council for their feedback before we move forward.
Okay. Any other questions on this? Item 4, modify the legacy tax increment financing plan.
Yep, the next two agenda items are nearly identical. in that they are both TIF modification plans that address two similar issues. First, to address the state assistant auditor's requirements and correct the municipal development district to better support Wilmer's TIF projects. Both the GM Magnum and Legacy TIF plans have been completely amended and restated to give clarity while also maintaining the original intent and the original financial arrangements. First, the two TIF modification plans address Assistant State Auditor Jason Nord's concerns that the Legacy and GM Magnum TIF plans cite old state laws. The duration of the original TIF is not correct, and that is supposed to be a plus 1 year. So if it's 8, it's supposed to be 9 per TIF guidelines. And Legacy appears to suggest an extension may be necessary, but is unclear. The estimates of tax increment to be generated provide two estimates and unconventionally separates administration costs out. Estimates on the plan collection form versus the plan document do not match, and there are small discrepancies in annual amounts used. Ultimate cost estimates are left blank, and the Assistant State Auditor found it unclear whether the cost estimates recognize the original net tax capacity of the district in comparison to the project costs. So whether there is coverage there. So first we're trying to meet the Assistant State Auditor's requirements on these two TIF. Secondly, the two TIF modifications address inappropriately sized municipal development districts, which had been made the exact same size as the project TIF districts. I have maps here.
So the Legacy, that's the first street. Domino's Pizza.
Correct, okay. That's right. And so originally the TIF district was literally the size of the project. The municipal development district was originally the size, same exact size as the project TIF district in red. We are proposing that the Municipal Development District be coterminous with the city limits, and that the TIF districts be inside of that. It's called pooling.
Can you say that again?
Yeah.
Just repeat it to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying.
There's two districts. There's the Project TIF District, which is the one in red, and then there's the thing called the Municipal Development District. They were made the exact same size in the original TIF plans. So what we're doing is we're leaving the original Project TIF district as is, but we're expanding the Municipal Development District to the city limits. And it's called pooling because you have multiple Project TIF districts inside of that Municipal Development District. What that allows you to do is it allows you to use monies from the TIF, the Project TIF districts and use them in other parts of the city because the Municipal Development District is bigger if the council chooses to do so. As they are right now, you can't. It also helps so that we don't have to, it ensures that we don't have to do another TIF amendment because it frees up the finances. So,
do you mind if I expand on that just a little bit?
Yeah, please. This is Jean at Ehlers.
Members of the committee, thank you for your time today. When we speak about enlarging the boundaries of the development district, that's some older language in statute. And what this does is it allows the city to spend a portion of the tax increments outside the geographic boundaries of the TIF district. They still have to be for TIF eligible projects, but they can be outside the geographic boundaries of the TIF district, but inside the geographic boundaries of the development district. So by expanding these boundaries to be coterminous with the corporate boundaries of the city, then should there be another tax increment district created within the same development district, because you can have multiple TIF districts inside your development district, that allows future TIF districts to help each other if they're the same type of district, to a certain degree. Now, there's limitations on this, which we could get into if necessary, but we'll keep an eye on those should the situation arise. But it also means then that if another TIF district were to be created and you keep the same boundaries you have right now for your development district, number one, we would need to enlarge the boundaries again at the establishment of any future TIF districts. And it also makes it tough to administer when you have such parcel-specific development districts, because it's tough to maintain those geographic boundaries. Parcels change frequently. There's divisions, there's combinations, those geographic boundaries change. So then what you end up with is like a meets and bounds legal description of your development district that really isn't representative of actual parcels, and it makes it very difficult to administer as time marches on and as things change. So this also just helps with the administration of the development district as well, and we don't need to maintain a meets and bounds legal description to maintain that geographic boundary.
Right, or even if there's combines or splits on the parcels, that changes everything too.
Right.
So this is new state law, or this is old language?
No, the second part of expanding the municipal development district to be the city limits is Ehlers' suggestion. Since we're modifying the plan anyway, it's Ehlers' suggestion to do this because it's going to make TIF administration a heck of a lot easier, and for us and for the state to understand. And then the project TIF districts will occur within this, because otherwise the way it's set up now is, well, every time there's a little change, you got to change the municipal TIF district. And with all the splits and combines and other things that happen in the city, you constantly have to go in and do TIF plan amendments because you have to, you know, change this thing. But if you just take it to the city limits, you don't have to do that anymore. And then you have all your project TIF districts inside of it.
Well, we don't do that many.
No, right now we got 5.
Yeah.
But we could.
Well. I think the real beauty of this is that you can share the revenue stream, you know, according to law, that, you know, a plan can go south,
right,
and it's not generating the TIF, but you've got, you know, if you're doing payback TIFs, I don't know if you are or not, or if the city's going on the hook for the development costs.
Where do I pay as you go?
Okay, so it pays you also, then that takes the risk off of
the city.
Off of the city.
Right.
But back in the day, when cities used to upfront the money, something like this would help, because, you know, you get one TIF that's not paying as much as they should, and you take money from another TIF, and you can kind of share it a little bit.
Yep.
So anything that makes, you know, life easier from administering tax increment financing districts is a good thing in the big scheme of things.
And the financial pooling is huge.
Yeah. And so it's more or less, this is an administrative benefit. It's not, it does nothing with authority or anything else. It's just basically, it makes it easier to administer.
Correct, and yep. It doesn't change their agreement.
Right.
Or any of the numbers.
Yeah. And so that they won't have to be, we don't have to revisit the recipients of the TIFs.
No, not at all.
Okay.
But if someone wants to start another one,
yep,
they still come here.
Yep.
First.
Correct.
To our city.
Yep. And it just happens to be inside that new master municipal development district.
Because I mean, I recall when we did the legacy one, for instance, there was discussion about making that boundary larger to encompass across First Street for future possible development. If we had this, we would still have to explore that future TIF development across the street anyway.
Yep.
But then we would not have to worry about this overarching administrative piece.
Correct.
Because that would be included.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just kind of takes one thing off your plate.
Yep.
That you don't have to deal with again. Otherwise, you're doing two things every time you do something. You know, now you're going to do one thing.
Yep.
Anything else, Gene?
Kathy, you have a question?
No, sounds like you. No, I don't have anything to add at this point.
All right, thank you.
I should have taken the time to look back, but what was the term of the legacy TIF?
It was, 15, is it 8 years?
I thought it was 15.
Legacy was 15 years, as specified in the TIF plan, which corresponds to the developer agreement.
So now it'll have to be 16?
It's 15 plus 1, is that correct, Gene?
Right, so 16 years of increment.
Right.
And they've been at it 1 year now?
Legacy has not officially started yet.
It hasn't started?
No.
Oh, okay.
They just submitted their expenses to me last week.
So then in the write-up it talks about shortening the duration to 15 years instead of the maximum allowed by 25 years. So what would the benefit of that be?
Jane, can you answer that, please?
Right. So the benefit of specifying in the TIF plan a shorter duration than the statutory maximum, a lot of times it's to tie to the anticipated or actually executed developer agreement. The city, if you were to choose to go with the statutory maximum of 25 years, the city always has the option to decertify early once the obligation is paid. But really, it's in this case to specify a shorter duration, I believe, was the original intent of the TIF plan so that it would line up with the developer agreement.
Okay, so then knowing that on the east side of the TIF district, that's still open for development, and it is our hope that someone would be developing that area. If we shorten this to 15 years, and in 3 years a new developer comes and wants to do that east end of it, are they now only eligible to do 12 years instead of longer because we've shortened the TIF?
Are you talking about the phase two?
Yes.
Are you talking about the phase two of the same project?
I'm assuming so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they would have to create another
TIF. Yes, that is the case. Yeah. Unless the TIF plan is modified again. The TIF plan can be modified. We could modify it again to extend the duration.
So that's
the drawback. Once it's done, it's done, unless the city chooses to modify the district again.
So I'm probably confused in this, but so what would our benefit be to shorten it if we're not required to do so by any law, correct? But knowing
correct.
That we might want that longer term down the road, what is our benefit for shortening it now?
At this point, we were doing what we believed was the original intent of the city council. So we did not want to change that for this modification, but we certainly could. We could certainly, in the TIF plan, state a maximum duration of 26 years of increment in the TIF plan, knowing that the city could, at any time, decertify the district early.
Phase two is not included in this in the first place, right?
They'd have to come
the original,
yeah.
The TIF number of 15 years was what was negotiated. I don't think I would want to renegotiate and say that we're opening it to 25 years. That I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is what I'm hearing is that's why you're proposing the way it is that it was the intent of the council to do a 15-year TIF.
The majority, well, not the majority, but some wanted 10 years, and the developer said no, they needed 15.
Right, but 25, so that would
that
have...
That was way too long.
That's not something...
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, normally, you know, and maybe Ehlers was party of this, but normally you do an analysis, and they're saying, you know, I want to do this project, and I'm short $800,000, and I need help from the city, and we're going to do a pay-as-you-go, and based on the projected increment generated, you know, $800,000 gets funded in 15 years, you know. Yeah. And the city would have said, yeah, we like 10 years. And they're going like, yeah, but I only get $600,000. I need $800,000. And so you agreed to 15 years so that they got as much money as they needed to fulfill that void in the project. And so you come to a number. And so, you know, you could, you know, you're tying it to the development agreement. So that's perfectly fine in my book. It's, they agreed to it, city agreed to it, not a problem. You can always do another TIF district.
Yep.
You know, in the future, if they do phase two, or you can always add on to it, because once you paid back the $800,000, it don't matter how long your district is. If it's 25 years, once your debt is gone, once you've paid the amount, then it's up to the city to say, we got to give the money to the city, county, and the school anyway now, or we decertified. You can't just keep collecting it for 10 years. Everybody frowns upon that. So you'd have to cut it off anyway.
So another question for you, and I apologize for not knowing, but so the term is not specific to the TIF district, but rather to the developer's plan? The agreement we have with the developer?
The development agreement, yeah.
Okay, that's where my confusion is coming in. I was thinking it was that after 15 years, this TIF district disappears. Okay.
It could. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
If I may add, if the duration is specified in the TIF plan that takes precedence over the statutory maximum, regardless of a developer agreement, so the county will, based on the TIF plan, shut the district down after 15 years.
Okay.
And no more increment would be received unless the TIF plan is modified. And this TIF plan here for District 3, GM Magnum, does include both phases.
Right. We're looking at Legacy right now.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one.
It's all right.
But even in that one that you're looking at with the Phase 2, that still has a time for it to sunset and expire. So.
Right.
Yep.
All right, so let me take a quick look at the cash flow for Legacy. So it looks like that one includes retail.
Yep, it's just a retail strip mall.
It's just the retail, yep, and then the existing homestead, commercial, and non-homestead that's already there.
Yes.
And any developer agreements would need to be entered into within the first 5 years of the district as well. So if the development occurs after that five-year window, then the city would need to create a new TIF district anyway.
You mean the phase two?
The phase two.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. All right, so they do have a window to do it. Yeah.
So what are you looking for here then?
Let's see. I am looking for
you wanted to move to council.
Move it to council so that we can proceed with the modifications to the tax increment financing plan and municipal district as presented.
That plan will be 15 years plus
Correct.
One?
Correct.
Okay. And it'll be starting soon.
Yes. They just submitted their allowed expenses, and I am learning as I go, so I'll be learning what to do with those shortly, and then we'll begin.
And there's typically a delay, isn't there? I mean, you collect
yes.
you collect the taxes, and you're paying a year behind anyway.
Correct. And we just issued them their CFO, so which was also a requirement. They have two vacant retail shops. They don't have the concrete in the floor yet because they have to put the plumbing in per the build out. But we are going to give them, we gave them the CFO because that's common practice for commercial properties. So.
Any other questions?
No, I mean, it, to me, I mean, the overarching concept of a development district makes sense to me, and it doesn't really, doesn't change the actual agreements of the existing TIFs. It doesn't, it, it allows us to do perhaps some sharing, but I think it's more just a, it's the administrative ease of doing it. It doesn't change anything else, so I don't see any reason why we wouldn't approve this kind of a concept. If you're looking for a motion to move it to council, I would make that motion.
Second. Second. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. So you'll have it written out clearly then for us.
In the minutes?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I heard you loud and clear at the last council.
Very clearly. With emphasis.
Right. And then the Magnum one?
They're virtually identical.
Identical.
And they're addressing the state auditor's concerns.
Okay.
I'd be looking for a similar motion. It's the same. You can see in the, this is Legacy. Here is Magnum. It's the same concept. There's the Magnum TIF district.
So they haven't started yet either, have they?
Magnum has.
They have?
Yes.
1 year?
Yes, I think it's about a year. Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be 15 plus one.
For the total,
16,
right.
16, so...
But, no, they stick with their existing thing. This just modifies the... this just modifies, for all intents and purposes for them, it just modifies the language and clarity for the state auditor and places them inside of a much larger municipal development district. So it's like, it doesn't impact them at all.
I say the motion as we could have just made it as the development district establishment, and these two fall within it, and the parameters are such. But I will make the second motion to move that as well.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries.
Thank you.
That is my final item for today's meeting.
Any other items from any council members? Any issues? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We're adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jean, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Steve Affelbacher is not hanging around there, is he?
Oh, he is. For a little bit longer. He's going to retire, though, and leave us.
Really? Well,